Alrighty, here we go, coming around the bend. Tom and I have been at it now, how long, let's see, we started at 9. Only did a half-ass effort at 9:20. I'm including just not only just we're on the air, just talking about my contributions to it.
Okay. Half-ass, I hear.
Hang on, yeah. And I was pretty funny around 10:15. Okay, here we go. So you get a chance to write to us at mynorthwest.com. Come on in the other door. You can text as well at 989-973-98973. And I have sent out so many voice text messages that have dirty words in it that it doesn't even bother me anymore.
Wow. Why do
you
I
sent
do
one
that?
Out the other day to somebody I don't know that well, and I was just like, meh. I saw it. I'm like, meh, I don't feel bad.
But you are, you know, sort of Johnny upbraiding people that don't speak well in public. You don't like the vulgarity of millennials.
I don't, but I'm not saying that word. I'm just saying I'm texting, but I'm not using the bad word. The thing takes the voice and flips it around and adds in words that should not be there. Right, Jacob, you with me? Have you ever seen this?
And then you willfully send it off.
No, I send it.
You must just be a technology company.
Like this. Watch. Siri, text Jacob. Okay?
Who's Jacob?
Yeah, it doesn't even know who Jacob is. Screw it. Anyway, I send him the thing, and then I look at it later on after it's gone, and it's got the word blank sucker in it. Like, wow. By the way, here comes that wagon. I'm just stalling because I know that the wagon's moving a little slower than it normally moves because we've got a very old gentleman in there holding on to the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. Let's listen in now.
Do you think it's important that you know how to read well and write?
No.
Oh, you think not? Oh, really? I'm trying to argue with these kids. They think they're very smart and that school is not important.
That is right.
Is that right? Well, I disagree with you. All right, I think you're dumb.
Oh, my.
You just called a little teeny tiny lady dumb.
Now, Bernie, come on. When they're in there doing that heart surgery, they must have removed it. You don't talk to the teeny tiny lady.
Heart surgery? That sounded like Bernie like 40 years ago.
It was. I saw that. Oh, boy. Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos live there. So why is Medina asking its residents to pay more on property taxes? They say 2020, they're going to be able to have, they'll have a deficit of $500,000.
$500,000, yeah.
They've got a big meeting. It's today the 14th? Yeah, they got a big meeting today at City Hall. So you can go down there and vent your spleen if you happen to be in Medina. They're trying, and Danny Westin did a piece on this, I think it was back in June or something, saying, hey, come on, this is all Tim Iman's fault that they can't raise the property taxes enough in order to pay for the services.
That's right. You're restricted like 1% at a time. And oddly, Medina has, they pay 64% for every $1,000 worth of assessed value on your
64
home.
64 cents.
64 cents.
Cents, yes.
Yeah, out of 1,000. And just by comparison, that is among the lowest in the state. Bellevue's is 92 cents, mm-hmm. and Redmond's is $1.15. So right now, Medina is paying, you know, very low, like half of what Redmond's does. But they can't raise it all in one fell swoop. Not that they would approve it necessarily. It has to go before the voters if they're going to approve it more. Uh-huh. And so that it's going to be on the ballot coming up whether the Medina will support that or not. Now, one of the things about Medina is that, yeah, they argue that their city is kind of misrepresented when you think that you've got Simon Yee, the tech big shot. He has a $56.9 million house. John Shirley, $42 million. The Brotmans, $26 million. But most, there are a lot of poor people who can only afford $2 million homes in Medina. So that they're not that, for those are the outliers, the super rich. Uh-huh. It's just the generally rich that have to pay for this. And the question is, you know, will they or won't they? Mercer Island had a similar kind of a thing. I should ask Dave Ross about this. And they voted it down. They only got 42% support for this. So they had to cut out lifeguard. This is on Mercer Island. Lifeguard mm-hmm. service and some elderly services and some family service issues that they had. They say, what's Medina going to lose? They're going to have to give up if they don't pass this. Probably their harbor patrol business, mm-hmm. because after all, it's on the water. There's a lot of harbor patrol business. And more lifeguards. Uh-huh. They're going to have to cut, among other things. And right now, they're coming up with budgets if it passes, here's what we can do. And if it they haven't released it yet, and then here's what we can do.
So they're pointing, saying, well, how can you not be having, why can you not have money when you got one of the richest guys in the world living there, or a couple of the richest people in the world living there?
But
so 44% of all the revenue comes in property taxes. Only 8% of it stays in Medina. The rest of it goes to county and out to state.
Yeah, but that's true of a lot. I mean, that's true of a lot of cities. But yeah.
So then at the end of the day, they look at it and they say, well, we've got to come up with a plan. We're going to knock it up to take it up to 84 cents per thousand on it. If not, we're going to have to make the cuts. So I don't have a problem with the fact that they'll ask the citizens, you okay with this thing going up?
Yeah.
And I would say most people look at it now, and you go to their website, you could see, hey, we're gonna be $500,000 in the hole in 2020, and that's going to continue to be a problem for us. We'll have less and less services. I went online to see how many employees they have. I think they've got 20 employees.
Yeah, is that right?
Oh,
yeah,
they got
it's a small town.
3,500 people.
Is that right? Yeah.
Now, they contract out for additional police, I assume. They certainly do with fire.
Yeah.
But they'll get their house in order. But we don't have it set up that we're taxing on the income of the individuals. We're taxing on the houses.
Yeah, on the house. And 64 cents, they got a deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cheaper than anybody else on the east side. Apparently.
Good for them. LeBron James had a problem with the tweet that went out from the general manager from Houston that said, you know, let's stand with the people of Hong Kong.
Right, yeah, fight for freedom.
And then China got all mad at the NBA, and there was all sorts of canceled promotional things that were supposed to be happening. So then LeBron James said, speaking about the China situation, for the first time he said,
We all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech. But at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen. When you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand.
Daryl is the guy, the Houston
GM from Houston Rockets.
Sent out the thing about his support of Hong Kong.
And he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed. Not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
Yeah, what was so horrible about the tweet? It was something like, we stand in support of the people of Hong Kong?
Fight for freedom, you know, support Hong Kong protesters or
something
like that.
LeBron James let the cat out of the bag there by saying people hurt financially. Absolutely, yeah. Financially.
I know.
He's over there promoting a new movie. He's over there promoting his shoes. He's over there making money after the 1.3 billion people that live there. And to turn a blind eye to what happens when it comes to human rights in China, right?
Yes.
Yes.
But what he says is he was misinformed, as if he doesn't understand what the Hong Kong protesters were. That's not the case. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he decided to take a stance in support of the Hong Kong protesters. Now, I'm comforted by the fact that we have a pushback from James.
He has a second thing, but he does know how he feels about the Hong Kong protests.
Okay. Is this his clarification after the
controversy? I don't think so.
I think when we talk about the political side, I think it's a very delicate situation, very sensitive situation. And for me personally, I think if any of you guys know me or always cover me, you guys know when I speak about something, I speak about something I'm very knowledgeable about, something that hits home for me, something I'm very passionate about. And I felt like with this particular situation, it was something that not only was I, not informed enough about, I just felt like it was something that not only myself or my teammates or our organization had enough information to even talk about it at that point in time, and we still feel the same way.
Okay,
so then why do you assume that Morey doesn't know? That's the thing that I find irritating about what LeBron James is saying, is that, well, I think it's smart. If he doesn't really understand the situation, and I don't know how you couldn't, but if you don't, then that's fine, admit it. But then he went on to say, and I think that guy was misinformed. Well, as far as we know, he knew exactly what was going on, and he supports the Hong Kong protesters like most of Western democracies do.
I don't think it's as complicated as, like, maybe if he was to tip his toe into Syria and talk about Turkey and the Kurds, then you might have some new ideas. Like, well, technically, the Russians. But this is just flat out China wants to impose its will upon the people of Hong Kong.
Exactly.
Hong Kong wants its freedom.
Yes.
The puppet that they have in position as the executive there, who is a weak and feckless individual, who is kowtowing to China, because that's who puts her in there, and she has done nothing to protect the people. You now have people that have been killed. You have people that are being investigated. You could possibly possibly have someone from China reach over into Hong Kong and pull somebody off out of Hong Kong and take them over and have them, quote unquote, stand trial in China.
Yeah, John, I think you are misinformed.
I'm informed by the fact
you're
that LeBron
not really
James
educated.
And the NBA wants to make money in China. I got that.
I understand that. But he's mushing things up by saying, well, there are financial consequences and emotional consequences.
Spiritual.
What?
People just talk, Tom. That's what you say. I like the fact there was an interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal in 2004. The NFL wanted to do some connections with China. They said, hey, we got this big thing. Let's get some new viewers there. Let's really promote the NFL. And it was going pretty well there for a while. And then during the Super Bowl, they had an ad that was all about heroes and people standing up to, you know, different, you know, forces. And it was only about a second and a half, but it was the picture of the guy standing there in front of the tank at Tiananmen Square in, what, 1989 or whatever. And China saw that and was like, deal done. We're not going to get involved with you guys.
That's funny.
Very sensitive to that whole.
Yeah, I wonder
I
why.
Don't know why. Boy, can you imagine if they had fired that tank?
If they'd shot him?
Yeah.
Or rolled over him?
Oof.
Nobody knows what happened to that guy. Nobody knows who he is.
Is that right?
And they say, that he's just sort of disappeared into the mists of history.
I would, too, if I were that guy. Because he could be affected financially, emotionally,
and spiritually. I think the Chinese knew who he was.
Thanks, LeBron James. Hope you sell lots of shoes. $4.99 is what it costs for you to get a chicken from Costco. And they lose how much money every time you buy a chicken?
Well, it adds up. They don't release those kinds of numbers.
Yeah, but overall,
they cost $30 to $40 million. They're losing in their rotisserie chickens, so they can keep the price at $4.99, which they think is somehow the secret
the to sweet
success of those chickens. $30 to $40 million they're willing to take in loss because you have to go through the entire Costco store to get to them, and when you come out, you end up buying hundreds of dollars worth of stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's like a loss leader idea here. What's fascinating about this the current thing is now there's no way you can break even at $4.99. Even $5.99 is what a lot of people are selling, or $6 and $7.99 for these rotisserie chickens. But Costco realizes they've got a problem on their hands, because now the people that the poultry producers do not want to produce chickens that they would sell whole.
Right.
They make many more profits if they chop it up and they just sell wings and they sell breasts and they sell thighs and these kinds of things. And because of that, Costco has decided, I know how we're going to cure this. We don't have sound of this.
No, we're going to grow our own.
Yeah, we're going to grow our own. They're starting this huge chicken, I don't know what you call it, factory farm.
Yeah, farming.
In Nebraska.
Yes.
To provide them, because now the companies are not only making them to be sold whole, the providers, They also are making them too big, so they don't even fit into the rotisserie ovens as they are. So Costco says, we've got to get a hold of this, and they're proceeding.
I remember watching that book, or watching that thing on the fat movie. What was it? I can't remember the name of the documentary.
Yeah, Super.
No, some other food.
Okay, not Super Size Me.
They said that most of the tomatoes grown in the United States are grown for McDonald's. And most of the potatoes grown in the United States are grown for
Food Inc.
Food Inc. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That most potatoes that are grown, the greatest majority of them are taken and turned into French fries.
Wow.
So basically, in effect, you are the employee of McDonald's. In this case, the people in Nebraska will be making chickens. And then they said, we're only going to make $60,000 if we make these chickens for Costco. Mm-hmm. They thought they were going to make more. But overall, by the way, I just looked up. Walmart has, Tom. How much is Costco's?
$4.99.
Walmart, $4.98. Ka-ching!
Right. I know, but nobody talks about the Walmart chicken, do they? Everybody talks about the... I mean, did they... They must have... Costco must have started the tradition.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, I guess, enough about Walmart.
You know what we call that at our house?
What's that?
Like, what do you want to eat for dinner tonight? You want to get a tear apart? We call it a tear apart. Isn't that horrible? It's so unappetizing. Hey, could you pick up some French bread and a tear apart?
I know. I do feel bad because they talk about how they raise these chickens, and the idea is that they now are getting a bunch of chickens to lay the eggs, so they're now in the egg producing factory industry.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is they want the perfect size eggs to be these perfect sized chickens, and they get to eat to their heart's content. After 42 days, they're killed.
Kill them. It's
It is so sad what we think, what we do to create our own lovely food.
Why all parents should talk with their kids about social identity. NPR Corey Turner talked to researchers about what parents need to talk about when it comes to identifying.
Why is this person darker than me? Why is this person wearing that hat on their head?
Tanya Hader is executive vice president for research.
What's wrong, Tom? You look quizzical. You couldn't understand what she's saying? Yeah, tune into her accent.
I wasn't sure you were hitting the right
cut. Time.
Why is this person darker than me? Why is this person wearing that hat on their head?
Tanya Hader is executive vice president for research at Sesame Workshop. And she says parents too often respond to these questions with embarrassment and a shush.
We sometimes are scared to talk about these things.
Did you read the article?
Yes, I did.
I did too. And then I found a corresponding article. University of Washington.
Yeah?
Did a whole study. Study provides insight into child's race and gender identity.
Yeah?
Fascinating. So set up what you've got, and I'll throw in what the University of Washington.
So basically, they say that kids from like 6 months old or even younger have a sort of a natural prejudice.
Yes.
That they have a bias that they like people that they think look like them.
Right.
And they don't like people that don't look like them. And not only that, there's like a mean streak. They want to punish the people that don't look like them. So he says, this is not societally acceptable. This is not probably a social good. So this is something that we need to address. Why is it that we are antagonistic to people that don't look like us?
It's genetics.
And they say throughout the, as kids grow up, usually adults don't even address the issue of racial identity. But I mean, it's on all different kinds of, you know, short people and tall people and, you know, blonde people and dark haired people and all that, until the kids are like 12. And they say that's way too late, because by that time, these kids have already grown up. And he says most adults and parents don't think that their kids really notice these differences. Oh, they notice them right off the bat, and they end up operating on that. So there ought to be an explanation of why people are treated differently if they are treated differently. And this is not no surprise. Guess what? If you're a minority, something like 65% of blacks have said that, yeah, their kid has been criticized for being black, and 56% for Hispanic and 64% for Asian. But white kids, about 40% do. So naturally, white parents aren't going to feel the need to talk about gender or race identity, because it doesn't come up, it doesn't impact their kid, and that's a concern.
Unless you are a minority. If you're a minority, my nieces and nephew went
to
a all-black grade school and high school in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So that they were always identified as the white kid and made comments about them, right? But if you flip it around the other way, if you're in the majority,
which
nobody's saying anything about the majority.
That's right. And they say, so now minority parents have to address the issue. Would it be good if the majority parents also address the issue?
Let me ask you this.
Well.
How has the baby changed in the last 300 million years?
I assume they're healthier.
No,
they live longer.
Yeah. Just so assuming that to be the same.
How else?
Nothing.
Well, that was
It's the same baby that's been around for 300 million years. The only difference is that now we have conversations about topics and values that we didn't have 300 million years ago. The baby itself, the brain itself, is still the same brain, which is a brain that is designed to be able to identify differences, because difference equals bad, because bad equals death, right? So it's basically you need to be aware in order to survive.
Yeah.
Because those that didn't have this distinction in their brain, they were gone, genetically removed from the gene pool. But the more finite you could become to determine differences allowed you to survive.
Yes, but women were treated like chattel, and if man wanted to have sex with a woman, he just did.
Right.
And so
that's the Middle
the
East,
idea is
Tom.
You kind
it's
of,
still going
no, you
on
kind
now.
Of,
yeah.
you, hopefully we evolve.
We're right back. Like washing windows and doors, say take a good look at your windows from the outside of your house. If they are surrounded by metal, it's probably a nice old house. That's probably a crappy window you got there. Get those things replaced, because you're actually moving heat outside of the home, as the metal is a great conductor of that. So get rid of that. Tom's got a hole in the ground. He doesn't care about windows or doors. But if you do, make sure the house is well insulated. And that's a good start, is the window and the door. Thanks, Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Okay, Tom, it's in a rush to harvest body parts. So people put themselves on the organ donor list.
Yes.
And then a corporation comes flying in there, makes some money by taking your heart and racing it over to the hospital, or lungs, or some other vital organ. And then you end up, apparently, in some cases, the rush in order to get the parts to market so to speak, can cause problems when it comes to actually helping to solve crimes. LA Times reports on a company that can get a hold of your organs even if you're not a donor. Oh, boy.
For registered donors, procurement companies don't need approval from a family member. And if family members disagree with the donation, they can't stop it. These companies say they view every person who dies as a potential donor of bones, skin, and other tissues. If you have not signed up as a donor, the company will ask your family members to allow them to harvest your body parts anyway. If the coroner or hospital can't find your family, the company can still harvest your organs and tissues. California law says that a hospital executive or the coroner can make you a donor if they can't find your next of kin after a 12-hour search.
Oh! Wow! Gee whiz!
The tissues the companies want, including your skin, bones, veins, fat, and those tissues are worth a lot of money. A single body can supply the raw materials for products that sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars. A processed piece of human skin, slightly larger than a dollar bill, is billed to hospitals at $3,025. A single Achilles tendon, one of 14 tendons the companies can harvest from a body, brings in $2,142. A single human femur can be ground up and processed to create bone products that sell for nearly $8,000.
There you go.
These companies have created a multi-billion dollar industry harvesting tissues and organs.
All right, and saving lives.
Maybe. And that's the question is, at what cost? This is the result of a big in-depth investigative study by the Los Angeles Times. And they cite instance after instance after instance when the family the police are not allowed to find out what the cause of death was, because these procurement companies
come in
so quickly. Yeah. And so the idea here is that, well, on the surface, let's say that they're organ harvesting. I didn't realize that there was almost they're harvesting everything else in the body too. But organ harvesting, the reason they do that so quickly is because that heart, if it's
they
not,
they got to get there.
They got to get there, and they got to do it fast.
Yes.
The problem is unless they get the unless you get the go ahead from the coroner that says, okay, there's no clear evidence of any kind of murder or any kind of wrongdoing here. We'll go ahead and
this is such an easy fix.
Easy fix? How so? What would you
don't fix? Give the final say to someone that can benefit from it financially? You don't give it to the hospital administrator that's going to get paid.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about Bob Jones, who's down in, or John Doe? And again, identify him. They want to take some of his skin. You get $3,000. No, you don't let that person. You just simply say no. Unless you have next of kin or the individual themselves puts themselves in the list, it's over. It's done. And the body goes to where the body is going and no one benefits from it. But if you have that leakage off to the side where the person can, go ahead. Take whatever organs you want. That's not fair.
Yeah.
All right, good. We solved that one.
They do have a number of criminal investigations. Yeah. The evidence, even if it wasn't murder from, they want to know why the person died. There's this heartbreaking case of this young, 17-year-old high school athlete, and he died of some kind of a heart attack. And they said, what's going on about that? And because he had signed, like we'd probably be proud of our kid if they signed an organ donor card, that the family tried to stop. It says, no, we want to know what happened first. Do not take his organs until we understand how could a healthy kid like this die, they were not allowed to stop it. They went ahead, they took it to court, and then finally their lawyer said, I just checked state law. The state, has the ability, or this, they allow companies to do this, and they have no recourse, and they're heartbroken over it. Others, there are a number of criminal cases that go unsolved because of
this. The tightly produced show that we have, this is our death hour, the story about a guy in Ireland. You see the whole family around the gravesite. There's people standing there. You can see that the casket has already been lowered in, and they're finishing up the prayers when... The sound is coming from
the gravesite.
From the gravesite.
Oh. Hello? Let me out! Where the f*** are you? Hello? Hello? Let me out the f*** here. Who the f*** am I? Is that the priest I can hear? Let me out! Hello? Hello? Stop the mask! Stop, I can hear you! Hello, please.
Hello.
Who's there? Hello. This is shaming. I'm in the box. No, I'm f***ing yet. I'm dead.
Hello again.
Neil Diamond.
I just called to say goodbye. I'm going to die next day to say hello again. Hello.
Poorly done.
Only on the Tom and Curly Show will hear a critique of someone's.
Here's the problem with that.
Don't speak ill of the dead, John.
No. He seems like a funny guy. I would have given him a little bit of guidance, which is this. You can't keep banging on the thing, right? Because now where you're going from there? Hello, let me out here. Hello. Okay. Yeah, right. Now you've engaged, right? But you got to close it somehow. Because at this point, the audience is standing around the gravesite, it's like, wow, this is sort of sad. You've left them in an emotional place that doesn't give any sort of closure, either through comedy or some other thing, right? So he could do a, hello, let me out. And then he could say, like, listen, I'm gone, but, you know, here's the thing. I had a good life, and things worked out for me, so don't feel bad for me. And the rest of you go on, no tears. Don't worry about it. Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye. I'll see you in heaven, right? Because that's what it's all about. I'll see you there. Have a drink for me, all right? So no more tears. Don't worry about me.
The pipes are calling.
Right? Don't leave it with like, hey, let me out of here. Hey. Because then you have a feeling like, that's really sort of sad. He's there. He's dead. Then he's crying at the end of the thing. You come around, Tom. You get closure. You bring some comedy in there.
I got an even better ending.
Okay, how?
He's really alive in there, and he's trying to get out, and we're all laughing at him. That's the horror story you want for Halloween. Oh, wasn't that funny? He recorded it. No, he didn't record anything. That wasn't a recording.
Tom, oh my God. Tom, back to the reality here. Wouldn't you agree with me that it needs to have a nice ending?
I thought him going to song was...
No, because his last name
nice
was
like, I'm dying. He says, I'm calling to say hello and goodbye. I thought it was a nice send up. Yours might have been a little funnier.
Not funnier, just give us
mine is the worst.
You know they wouldn't let us play this at my dad's funeral? In the
what?
Church.
What?
I don't know. The priest says it's not a Catholic song. It's not a Christian song. It's not a church song. So my dad loved this song.
My Aunt Jean named her one of her sons, Daniel, and we sang this at his
at
her
funeral.
Yeah. Yes, Catholic Church.
That's right. Got to do this one.
Especially Irish.
Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so.
Tiny lady had a long day. She's already been hanging around with Bernie, and then he dumps her off, and then he heads to... Where are they having the debate tonight, Tom?
Ohio.
Ohio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot to Care Partners Senior Living. Mom and Dad got to that place in life. The house is too much for them. They won't take care of it anymore, but they do want to make sure that they are surrounded by people that love and care for them at Care Partners Senior Living. Here comes the mailman now.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me, I'm the mailman, if you didn't know, I'm the mailman, I bring the mail to your door.
Yeah, right to your door. How do you like that, Lauren Bacall?
I like that.
Ah, it's good to know. Teeny tiny lady, she's ready to go, Tom.
Hello!
And we're going to get to that letter of the day, but first let's get started with all the rest.
Started off our show with that story about Minneapolis maybe showing us the way to deal with the crime downtown or not, prolific offenders issue. Trevor in the 206 says, I bounce back and forth between Federal Way and Bend, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 12 months, Bend has seen a 60% drop in property crime and assaults. They simply made a change in foot patrols. They have them around areas of crime 24/7 now. 100 degrees or 10 degrees, they have cops on the streets, on foot, downtown.
Hanging out. Here we go. Let's see. It is phone buying machines. 206, I live in Ballard. At the Fred Meyer, there is one. I always see shady people putting phones in the eco-recycling machine. I have been asking if they could use my ID. They've asked if you use my ID several times. Of course, I decline that. Just FYI. I got to put your ID in.
I guess.
All right.
Okay. And we hear from David and Lake Stevens. It's been a while, David. Hey, guys. I'm hoping you can help me get the word out about a new automated cell phone recycling service I'm starting
oh,
soon.
Oh, good, David.
I will be installing recycling kiosks at locations yet to be determined sometime in the near future.
Hmm.
I know some people are leery of these kiosks because heretofore, it's the second time that word's been used today, they have been used by criminals to cash in on stolen phones. But my new business model is designed to combat this. Uh-huh. To do this, my kiosks will charge a small crime prevention fee of just $25 per device to be recycled, with 100% of the first dollar being donated to local police stations. Still not convinced? What if I told you it has the full and complete backing of the Minneapolis Police Department? I bet you're convinced now. Stay tuned for details.
100% of the first dollar.
You're right, of the first dollar. And he gets 25 for each of it.
All right. John's letter. That's my letter to my mom, who's probably not going to be with us much longer. Dell in Denton says, John, that was truly beautiful. You are more than okay. And Sarah in Arlington, I'm trying to put my makeup back on now. I have to redo some. Thanks a lot, John, in all seriousness. Thanks for sharing your grief and your real life. My heart is with you right now.
And for more, Ryan from Redmond, I love you, John. You're awesome. I lost both my parents to cancer, was orphaned at the age of 42. I'm not going to lie. I teared up when you read your letter to your mom.
I have heard that it is, well, you lost my dad, what, 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. They say when you lose your parents, you have this sort of weird feeling. Oh, my gosh, this is it. I am all alone. Larry in accounting writes, this is about crying at work. Larry in accounting writes in, he says, L and an A and an R and a Y, Larry in accounting. He said he wanted it read to the Keel Mortgage thing.
Well,
hey, boys.
Why didn't you do it?
I don't mind crying down here in the Cairo Radio accounting department. It happens a lot for some strange reason. Well, anyway, the ladies do all the crying. That's fine with me. But, dudes, come on. Man up, right? Anyway, I'm always Larry on the spot to give those long, lingering, low, consoling hugs to whatever a sad chick wants to boo-hoo-hoo about. And Carol in HR and all her inappropriate touching be damned. That's from Larry in Accounting, the place to cry if you've got some problems.
You want a hug. Hunter Biden.
Low and inappropriate.
Yes, wink, wink. 425. Why is the focus on Joe Biden's son when Trump's kids are currently raking in millions while their father is the president?
Okay. And 360, the whole thing was unethical, Tom. Didn't you watch the Glenn Beck show on this?
I probably missed that show.
Is he still on the air?
Eric and Bothell. He's doing a podcast now, maybe. Okay. Eric and Bothell. Trump warned us that if we voted for Hillary, we would get a president would be under federal investigation from day one.
Mm-hmm.
I voted for Hillary, and damned if he wasn't right.
All right. He's going to get that letter of the day. Too bad Miss Mike and Magnolia said I was right.
And now it's time for the letter of the day.
Too bad.
Comes from area code 650.
Uh-huh.
Here on Mercer Island, we had to stop polishing our golden paved streets from once a week to twice a month.
Ugh.
It's called budgeting. This is why I chose the island life rather than those unrealistic Medina residents.
Huh. That's all in perspective for us, doesn't it?
Right.
All right. Tomorrow.
And tomorrow and tomorrow.
Out of time. Bye-bye.